After World War II, when my folks and I would visit my maternal grandparents in Emporia, Kansas, I had to sleep in my uncle's bedroom. Dear John, by his first wife while on duty in 1940s Europe, he moved back in with his mom and dad to restart life as a stateside single war vet. During the night, I can still remember the scary sounds my uncle made while sleeping and the noise his teeth made gnashing intermittently with unintelligible fragments of half-spoken phrases. My child's mind could only imagine that a big monster was chasing my uncle in a really bad dream. I saw the shadow of that monster today in a documentary film called Restrepo. The film is not an entertainment, but if you might wonder what it's really like for our troops on the ground over in Afghanistan, maybe you ought to see it. You won't get any of what Restrepo is about on your early evening network newscast. That kind of coverage was scrubbed after the Vietnam War. Wherever you decide to sit in the cinema, you've got a front-row seat watching visceral excerpts of a 2007 14-month Afghanistan deployment for the 2nd Platoon Battle Company of the 173rd Airborne Brigade. Cameras in hand, filmmaker-journalist Sebastian Younger and Tim Hetherington, with a certain amount of their own bravery, followed these guys into the perilous Korngal Valley to capture the essence of 21st-century GI life, like taking and returning fire daily, several times, with the Taliban, going on risky recon missions, dealing with local people's concerns about cultural differences in the region's politics and religion, etc. Younger and Hetherington, using video shot as well by men of the platoon, document the grunts' hard labor digging in on the craggy Afghan terrain, goofing off, being bored to death in such a remote yet dangerous place, and feeling the anguish of witnessing comrades die in firefights. There are no lingering shots of wounded or dead military personnel, by the way. PFC Juan Doc Restrepo, their medic, was the first to fall. The platoon bestowed his name on the mountain high ground brought under its control, making at the time war more difficult for the enemy. Doc was the platoon's inspiration, and from that emotion, coupled with the daily slog to survive, the camaraderie fairly flowed. After the deployment was completed, Younger and Hetherington did the interviews. One of them reminded me of my childhood experience hearing my uncle having his post-traumatic stress nightmares. Recalling a horrific event while in the Korngal Valley, one foot soldier tries to mask his sense of trauma. Sucking it up, he speaks profoundly about what he saw by saying something to this effect. "I can't forget about it. I don't want to forget about it. It makes me appreciate everything I have." Everyone in my family knew better than to ask my uncle about his dreams or what he saw and did in the Battle of the Bulge, and although he never recounted any of it, none of us thought my uncle would forget. My guess is he remembered them till the day he died, when he was about 55. Why is it that the many motion pictures made today containing heavy violence but not related to actual contemporary warfare are so well received at the national box office, while the few films dealing with the current warfare, having been released since the new century began, are financial flops? Maybe the answer lies in the old saw, "That's entertainment." I'll now put in yet another plug for two recent films you should see if you haven't yet. Both depict contemporary war. First, Paul Haggis's film, In the Valley of Ella. The second is by any measure a must-see movie, winning 2009's Best Picture Oscar. You've probably heard of it. Catherine Bigelow's The Hurt Locker. You can read both those reviews, as well as the one on Restrepo, online at TulsaTVMemories.com or under external reviews at imdb.com. I'm Gary Chu, down in the Sacramento Valley.